This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The Raptors are really going to do it. They're really going to do it. And I got to be honest, I kind of slept on them this whole time. I've just been like sleeping. Like, I knew they're good. And I've thought the Raptors are good year in and year out. Obviously, this is a different team with that Kawhi Leonard fella on it. He's been magnificent all playoffs. And you know what it is about Kawhi that allows him to play so well in these high-pressure games? I think it's two parts of his game. One is his ability to score in the in-between areas. You know, the best shots are at the rim and from three, but sometimes you need those tougher shots from 18 feet. You need those shots from the place the defense is not prepared to guard you from or is forcing you into. And Kawhi's able to hit those shots consistently, manufacture those buckets. He also has a relentless pursuit of the basketball. You know, how many times have you seen him in these playoffs grab a rebound on the baseline that you thought the defensive team should get, but Kawhi Leonard winds up with it? So, credit to him. He's been fantastic. The Raptors as a whole have been as well. And I think what we're seeing is a testament to history a little bit. We've seen the end of dynasties before. It's usually not pretty at the very end. At the very end, because the Warriors, and obviously there's the story with Kevin Durant, which we'll get to in a second, but the team itself, the core of this team itself, has been making deep playoff runs every year for half a decade. And they look worn down. They look tired. They look worn down. The Raptors look hungry. And think about the players on the roster of the Raptors. It's just such a well-constructed team in general. But how bad do you think Kyle Lowry wants an NBA championship? How bad do you think Marc Gasol wants an NBA championship? How bad do you think Serge Ibaka wants an NBA championship? So they got a bunch of guys like that. They got a bunch of guys who have been around the block, have been in some big-time series and situations, but don't have the hardware yet, and this is the opportunity. This is the opportunity. It's kind of like, seeing one of those teams like the 2011 Mavericks or the 2004 Pistons. You know, the teams that aren't exactly constructed the way we typically think of a championship team in the modern era, because we've had so many teams with multiple superstars on the same roster. But there are also examples of teams that are just really well-constructed, that have one guy who's able to get buckets in tough situations and a bunch of really good players who are hungry and know what they're doing out on the court. On the flip side of that, you have like the 2014 Heat, for instance. Remember how tired and run down they looked at the end of that whole thing? Or the Lakers. I just mentioned the Pistons. The Lakers in 04, I mean, they had added like Karl Malone and Gary Payton at the end of their careers, but it was the end of the run for Shaq and Kobe. And that team, that core of that team. And as a result, they just didn't have it. They just didn't have it. you know, I don't think this is the kind of Raptors team that has the makings of a dynasty, right? Like, you don't have a dynasty without multiple superstar players. But you can get a championship. You can get a championship. And Masai Ujiri made some bold moves that really paid off. I mean, I have respect for Dwayne Casey, but Nick Nurse has outcoached Steve Kerr in this series. Nick Nurse has been excellent. Obviously, the trade for Kawhi Leonard, no matter what happens with him in free agency, it's got to be tough to win a title and leave, by the way. But regardless, what a trade that was. And then, you bring in a Gasol at the deadline, a guy who's a proven winner. Not as a chance, you know, like, I don't measure winning only by championships, by the way, guys. You know, only one team wins a championship every year. I don't consider anybody who doesn't win a championship a loser. I mean, Marc Gasol was on those tough Memphis teams, constantly competing in the playoffs. They won a lot of games every year. They were tough out every year. I mean, to me, he's a winning player. He's a winner. You know, Kyle Lowry, he's a winner. Yeah, I know. He had choker label, all that stuff in the playoffs. Watch that guy compete. Watch how good the Raptors have been year in and year out. He's a winner. So you've surrounded a stud in Leonard with a bunch of length, with a bunch of shooting, with a bunch of smart, experienced players, and some winners. And they really want to get it done. I mean, Danny Green's a proven winner even at the championship level. And you got a young guy like Siakam, a guy like Van Vliet, who, you know, constantly has a chip on his shoulder because he's never been considered a huge cog or factor or prospect or any of that. And you have the Toronto Raptors, and you know, like, the just seeing the energy up there in Canada is pretty inspiring. It's crazy, right? That's why I get so annoyed. Have you seen some of the headlines about, like, the NBA Finals ratings? Drives me kind of insane because it's so disingenuous. You know, let me find one right now. Just as a quick aside, I don't want to go on a tangent here. This was Deadline Hollywood tweeted this out. Raptors lead NBA Finals with last night's win, but Game 3 ratings crashed a 12-year low. so disingenuous because the ratings don't count Toronto, which is the fourth biggest city in North America. You know, yeah, they miss LeBron. They also miss Canada. It's like, you know, that's like if Philadelphia or something was in the finals and you just didn't count the supercharged ratings you would get out of Philadelphia. And you see it. The energy from there is palpable, right? Do we have the Kawhi Leonard? If we have it, I'll play it. If not, I'll sum it for you and we'll play it in a bit. But Kawhi Leonard was asked last night about what it would mean for Canada if the Raptors were to win. And in his typical fashion, he was like, I don't know. You're going to have to ask somebody on the street. His press conferences have been hilarious because he just, like, is so matter of fact that he doesn't have time for some of the type of questions he gets. You know, he gets like, what did he say that one time? Where are you headed from here? He's like, oh, on to the next stop in the series. But he's been awesome. Toronto's been awesome. And 3-1, look, has it happened before? Of course. Could the Warriors reverse the 3-1 thing? I suppose it's a possibility. But, I mean, is even Kevin Durant enough? Let's say Kevin Durant, I mean, and who knows at this point. His status has been a mystery this whole time. And, you know, talking about Kevin Durant and his impact on the Warriors is difficult for me a little bit because, you know, there's this idea like they need Kevin Durant. And clearly they need Kevin Durant in this series, right? To win this series, they needed Kevin Durant. But also, like, I don't talk about, like, need in terms of being unbeatable. Like, the Warriors have been unbeatable with Kevin Durant. They've never lost a playoff series. Undefeated. So that's not, like, my standard for what we typically say with need. Like, usually when you say need, like, what you can do to become a contender. And the Warriors are a contender, clearly, without Kevin Durant. I mean, they were a better version of this team when they won 73 games and when they won a title in 2015. And now they still swept the Western Conference Finals without him and beat Houston without him. I mean, they're a contending team. So they need him to win this series, but you generally don't talk about any other great. Like, if you wouldn't go back to the Boston Celtics when they had KG and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce and say they needed another superstar. And, you know, they won one title. They went to two finals. They were consistently in the mix every year. If they had gotten another superstar, would they have won more? Probably, yeah. But did they need another superstar? No, they didn't need another superstar. We don't need to do that with the league. Another thing I think this series is telling us is the top of the Eastern Conference was probably better than the top of the Western Conference this year. I mean, you have the caveat of Durant being out in this series, and Houston's very good. But Milwaukee, Toronto, and Philadelphia? I mean, if you're the Sixers right now, I saw Joel Embiid tweet regrets in all caps last night. That ball bounced four times in game seven in the last seconds. Or else it could be the Sixers. I mean, the Bucks obviously got beat by the Raptors, but that was a competitive series. Those teams are good. It's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to this summer. We'll get to that in a bit, but like a full reset of the league. And this could be the moment that pushes that even further. Because I want to make sure the Raptors get the credit they deserve. They've been great in this series, and I think they win this series. And I think they probably win the deciding game in decisive fashion. 1012 Management tweets in, Golden State look beat down because they don't have KD. They don't need him. Shake my head. Totally ridiculous. I don't think you understand the context of what I'm saying. They need him in this series, sure, to win this series. That's been obvious, right? But we don't, you know, like, if you had removed him from the equation, if you had removed the idea of him being on the team, and this was the Warriors, you know, and let's say they won in 2015, what happened to them happened in 2016, they got eliminated in the Western Conference Finals, you know, the next year, they got eliminated in the second round the following year, then they made it back to the championship, we'd still be talking about them as a great team. We'd still be talking about them as a contending team. We don't look at any other contender through that prism, I don't think, in history, where you go, oh, yeah, they need one of the top three players in the league on that team. That's not how we view basketball. It's not how we, you know, like, yeah, to be like a super dynasty that can never lose, they needed KD. And right now, they need KD. But in the grand context of things, I don't think this is proof that this team needed to get Kevin Durant. I mean, every team, by that standard, needs to get Kevin Durant. Every team is better with Kevin Durant. And this team would be better with Kevin Durant. But I don't even think, at this point, it would make a difference. The guy's been out so long. And I'm tired of people speculating if he's, like, trying to pull something on. This guy's a great player. You think he'd really do that? You think he'd really, you know, like, we do this with guys and injuries all the time. Some of these injuries just take a while to heal. You know? They take a while to heal, especially with some of those muscle groups that are just, it happened with LeBron's groin, right, this year, and he came back. And he came back early, it looked like. He looked hobbled when he came back. If Kevin Durant was able to play and play effectively, he'd be out on the court. There's a reason he's not. Maybe he can be in game five. But even if Kevin Durant is back out there, do the Warriors have a chance? Let's assume he returns. Is even the return of Kevin Durant enough? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Would even the return of Kevin Durant be enough? 855-212-4227. 4227. I think the coronation of the Toronto Raptors is imminent. Really a cool story from the region to the roster construction to everything in between. And I think it would be like the sort of perfect championship to send us into a reset of the league this summer, which I believe we're getting the end of the Warriors dynasty in front of our eyes at this moment, the way that we've seen other dynasties end. I mean, the most notable ones I can point to, the Heat and the Lakers. You know, they just looked worn down, tired at the last of their rope, you know, letting go of the rope at the very end. 2014 for Miami, 2004 for the Lakers. And I think 2018, no, it's 2019 now, isn't it? 2018, 2019. I lose track. I was tweeting some stuff about 2019 last night. I was like, is it actually 2020? No, it's 2019, right? That's the correct year? Okay. Thank you. Could have just opened my phone, unlocked the screen or something. 855-212-4227 is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. How about we start appropriately enough with Toronto? Alan in Toronto, you're up first here on CBS Sports Radio.
That third quarter was 37-21 in Toronto's favor. It was a far cry from the 18-0 start in game one. And the X factor was Ibaka, 20 points in 22 minutes. Kerr took a big chance by allowing Thompson to play, but Kerr knew what he was doing. I give him credit for that. But there's a big difference between being bothered by an injury and being hampered by an injury. Thompson was only bothered by the injury. Durant is hampered. And what, you're going to bring Durant back in an elimination game after he's coated with rust? No way, forget it. You're doing more running in basketball than any other sport. And if Durant is not playing in the finals, then he is in pretty bad shape. You can forget about him coming back. And had he played in this series, and I don't know, things may have turned out differently. But I have to give the Raptors a lot of credit, though. You know, they're a team on a mission, and they're very exuberant. But yeah. Forget about Durant coming back.
Well, I mean, they said they're targeting him for Game 5 or Game 6. I mean, I'm with you. It's going to be tough to get back. And I think, you know, the reason he isn't there right now is he just probably can't accelerate, probably, you know, can't explode off of his leg and the like. And, you know, there's a what if he had played in this series, how would it have gone? That will always maybe be the thing that nags Toronto fans just slightly, not enough for them to care, you know, but just a slight thing that they get. Every fan base gets it for something, right? You know, for the Warriors, what's been the thing through all this winning, they still get the 3-1 jokes, right? And, you know, I think the KD to the Warriors move in general has so many ripple effects historically, like from a what-if standpoint. You know, if he didn't go to Golden State, well, first of all, what if he played in this series? But secondly, if he didn't go to Golden State, do Chris Paul and James Harden and Mike D'Antoni have championships? Are the Rockets the champs last year? I think that's highly likely. Does LeBron have another ring? The 2017 Cavs were better than the 2016 Cavs, the ones that beat the Warriors. Yeah, I think they win that year. I think they go back to back if he's not there. So there's a, you know, what happens with Durant wherever else he is. There's a lot of what ifs. You know, I never liked that move, never will, but we're at the end of it now. So I'm kind of excited to see where things are headed. And Toronto is accelerating that process. Kevin in San Antonio. Kevin, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, Robin. This is my first time calling here. I think that the Warriors think that they are invincible. Ain't no team is invincible. It's a season. And what I'm saying is that it happened to the Lakers. It happened to the Celtics with Bird and Magic. And that time when the Lakers was trying to play with the Pistons came up. And then the Bulls came up. And then us, I'm a Spurs fan. The Spurs came up, then the Lakers came back again, and then, you know, it's time. The Western Conference has been dominant over 20-plus years, and And that's with the Spurs, the Lakers, and the Warriors. Now the Eastern Conference is on the rise. You got Toronto coming up. You got the Bucks and the Sixers, and probably the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Brooklyn Nets are on the come up, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show. I mean, I wonder if free agency's already started. And you get the sense that Kyrie Irving has already chosen Brooklyn, and they're using that to leverage another move. That feels like what the case is. I don't know. I'm not working on any. I mean, I have some inside information that the Kyrie Brooklyn stuff is very serious, but just the feel of it feels like Kyrie's kind of already been like, all right, I'm coming, guys. And they went, all right, then let's use the Kyrie commitment to try and make something else happen. That's the feeling that you get right there. But even if Kevin Durant returns to the Warriors, would it make a difference in this series? Or are the Toronto Raptors going to become champs for the first time? Is that inevitable at this point? 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Want to remind you today at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, CBS Sports Network hits the pitch for semifinals action in Major League Rugby. The top four teams battle it out in the playoffs and fight for a chance to be the 2019 MLR champion, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Is there a chance if they get Durant? Or have the Raptors done it? They're really going to do it. I mean, I think they're really going
to
do it.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Asking whether even the return of Kevin Durant would be enough. 855-212-4227. Or if the Toronto Raptors are this year's NBA champions. Let's go to Joey in Toronto in the 6. You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Yo, what's up, Robin? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Not bad, thanks. I'm just driving to the Canadian Open right now. I thought I'd give you a call, listen to your show. It's great.
Thank you.
The Raptors, I have all the confidence in the world in the Raptors, but I have too much respect for the Golden State Warriors to say it's over yet. But I think our Raptors team right now is amazing. We have so much talent. I don't know if you guys see all year what Siakam has done, but he's a rising star. Hopefully he's the most improved in my eyes. And I think people are talking too much about KD. The Golden State Warriors, people got to remind themselves that they have 4 or 5 all-stars. They have Iguodala, who's a franchise player in Philly. He was the finals MVP. They have Green, Thompson, Curry. Like, they should be putting up a lot better numbers against Toronto. But I think our defense and what we've done, the grind we've put in for the past 7 years with Lowry, with DeRozan, now with Kawhi, I think we definitely have a chance. And I think the Raptors deserve all the respect that people have starting to be giving them in the past 5 days. So I look forward to your comments. And thanks, buddy. You're doing great.
Thank you. Well, of course they have a chance. I mean, it's almost, you know, it's as close to a lock as you can get. Not quite a lock yet, as close to a lock as you can get. How many teams have come back from 3-1 down in the finals? Do you guys know? 1. How many in the NBA playoffs ever? I'm going to look. Can we get that number? It's not many. I mean, you're talking about a handful of teams have come back from 3-1, period. I bet you it's like under 10, maybe about 10 in the history of the league. Let's go to Nick in Toronto. Nick, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Robin, what's happening?
Hold on 1 second, Nick, just while it's on my mind. It's 11 teams in NBA history have come back from 3-1, so a very, very rare occurrence, only once in the finals. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? Even if Kevin Durant does show up, I mean, it seems like the Raptors have, different people all the time showing up. One game they would shoot 8-9 points a game, and now they're shooting 25, 30. You know, they have a good bench that they come in and they basically do the job. And the other thing that I wanted to say is how you were saying about the NBA ratings. I mean, you wouldn't believe it, what's happening over here. There's viewing parties all over Canada with 40,000 to 50,000 people at a time watching the game.
Oh, I mean, I believe you, man. I see it outside. You can see it outside the arena. I mean, and like the yeah, that's why I think it's so disingenuous the way they're using that in headlines, because Toronto's the fourth. You know, it's New York, Los Angeles, Mexico City, and Toronto. Those are the four biggest cities in the continent. And people are acting, oh, like it doesn't matter that Toronto's not counted, much less the entire, you know, country of Canada.
Well, yeah, we have also the ratings of, you know, in Canada, and they were saying that it was 2.7 million people watching.
Yeah, and you add that, if you added that number to the U.S. number, I promise you, the ratings would look very good.
Yeah. Exactly. So listen, hey, it's very crazy over here. You know, we have the Leafs, we have the Blue Jays. You know, it's a very starving country that needs some a championship team. And right now over here, it's going crazy. And you're right. You know, if they would have had all the ratings counted in Canada and the States, I bet you we would be maybe the second or third highest rating in NBA history.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. I'd have to do the math. But the point is, it's disingenuous to be like, oh, finals ratings are cratering. You're not even counting one of the reasons ratings do well is because the markets involved are supercharged. You know, that's why you don't want the small markets in necessarily, at least both. You know, we always talk about it because if, let's say, the Knicks played in the finals, that's like a real stretch. But let's say it. Imagine the numbers from New York. It'd be bonkers, Bill. You know, like, great. So the ratings would absolutely go up for that finals. And New York is bigger than Toronto, but it's not, you know, it's not New York versus Oklahoma City. You know, it's more like New York versus Philadelphia or you know, Houston when you're compared. Toronto's a big city. Let's go to Polo in Dallas. Polo, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Okay, I'm going to keep it real because nobody's answering the question about what you said. Everybody's talking about jibber-jabber. You asked, would Kevin Durant make any type of difference coming back? I'm going to be real with you because the guy from Canada, he just sounds like a typical Canadian. I don't know what the guy before the other guy. Mm-hmm. No, it's not going to make a difference. It's inevitable. I hate to say it, that a Canadian team other than an American team, that's the only thing I was looking at, American versus Canada. But the Raptors are going to win this series. I'm sorry. I love the fact that now from now on, nobody's talking about the fact of, you know, everybody's saying Steph Curry, this is his team, Golden State Warriors, Kevin Durant won it too, you know, what are they called, the MVPs, you know, the Bill Russell trophies, whatever. I want people to talk about how Steph Curry couldn't carry his team to a championship himself. I don't care about the injuries. Injuries happen everywhere. Football, basketball, baseball, everybody's tired this time of year. They're real tired. But it shows in that game, the last game last night, and Kevin and Steph Curry could barely run up the court. That one shot when what's old boy name? He's played for San Antonio. They played for him now. When I can't think of his name. What the curly hair, the Mohawk now? When he hit that 3-pointer, when he's trying to guard Kawhi Leonard or trying to double team.
You're talking about Danny Green?
I said this is pathetic and stupid and just slow. I'm glad they're losing. I wish he could have been to American team, or America, USA, you know, Canada thing again. But I'm rooting for my Mavericks. I want to see, like you talk about in the summer, as far as free agent goes, it's going to be a major shakeup, Robin. It's going to be a power shift somewhere. And I think that the East Coast is I mean, Kyrie Irving, Brooklyn, I'm in Dallas. We don't talk about the East Coast that much. But you're talking about Kyrie Irving going to Brooklyn, I don't care. I wish he wouldn't, because Brooklyn got a good team without Kyrie Irving. They're growing. And, me personally, the way that Toronto, the whole country, they showed Saskatchewan. I can't even pronounce some of the cities in Canada on TV screen last night. But if Kawhi Leonard does stay in Toronto, it's going to be a major power shift.
Well, I hope Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto. It feels like the perfect fit. You know, he's given that team an identity. Kawhi Leonard and Drake have given the Raptors an identity, right? So I would hope he stays. I really do. And I'd like to see an era where the talent is spread around a little bit more. Now, I don't mind teams with multiple all-stars. It's been throughout the history of the NBA. But I think we'll see it a little bit better distributed after this year. You know, if Kawhi stays in Toronto and let's say even Kyrie goes to Brooklyn and they make a move to get somebody else, but Durant goes somewhere. You know, like, it'll be interesting to see how the chips fall. But right now, it's the Raptors who are forcing that action in the finals. And, you know, you mentioned something about wishing it was an American team. I mean, I think the Canadian thing is very cool. And you know, we have no leg to stand on if we're talking about, you know, mocking Canada at this point in history. Let's go to Antonio in Oakland. Antonio, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, you know, there's the crowd or the fans in Oakland and the Bay Area have changed from being a lifelong Warrior fan myself. So some of the fans that would say that the Warriors are better without KD, I really just can't stand it. I mean, I'm not even gonna go into the injuries. You know, it's irrelevant.
Did anyone say that, by the way?
No.
Anyone actually? I don't know if I've actually heard anyone say the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant. I feel like that's a massive straw man argument that took on like a life of its own, because I don't know if I've heard, maybe like some Yahoo online said it, but I don't know if I've heard one reputable person say that the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant.
No, I haven't. You're right. I haven't heard. No, I mean, I've never heard one of the professionals on TV say that. But out here, you hear it on the radio. People call up on the local sports talk out here. You hear it daily. And I think people are stopped the last 24 hours saying that, obviously. But, you know, Serge Ibaka, Danny Green. I mean, this, you know, Serge Ibaka's been trying to beat us for years. He's doing it. Incredible game. And I can't stand that for Kawhi Leonard. And I'm a lifelong Warrior fan. I've never hated on LeBron. I've never hated on the superstars. Kawhi Leonard was just killing it last night. I give him props, man. And the only thing that's going to really hurt if we do lose it all, and it looks like, I mean, that we're on life support right now, is that all the people are going to just always break down what we did for the last 5 years. They're going to bring up, like you do all the time, we lost 3-1. I mean, you talk about, you know, Draymond gets thrown out in that series. Did we win the game? No, we lost the game in the last minute of Game 7. So, It's been a fun run. It's been incredible. Did KD come back? I'm still holding on to a glimmer of hope and see where things go, man. So we'll see where it goes. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, man. How about Caesar in Dallas? Caesar, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Caesar?
Hey, what's up, Robin? You know, I want to get to some points real quick. You know, if KD is to come back, you know, I don't think he'll come back Game 5. I think maybe if the Golden State was able to squeeze one more, force it back to Oracle. But even at that, I still don't think KD's coming back. You know, I don't think he's going to risk to get injured again, you know, knowing he's going to hit free agency.
Caesar, I don't think it's about that. I mean, really, I want to have more respect for Kevin Durant than that. Like, it would be one thing if he was risking catastrophic injury. I don't think Kevin Durant... you know, the guy's a competitor. The guy's a great player. I may have problems with the fact that he went to Golden State, but I'm not going to slander him in the sense of, you know, I think the reason he's not back is because he's not ready to be back and play at that level. You know, I think it's as simple as that.
I don't want to bash him either, but so my guess is that calf injury was serious, more serious than what Steve Kerr and all the coaching staff was telling us.
Those kind of injuries take a long time to heal. Like, you know, I compared it, you know, I talked earlier. Remember this year when LeBron went down with the groin injury and everybody was when's he coming back?
Yeah.
And then he came back and it looked like he actually came back before he was ready to come back, even though people were saying he's waiting for all these guys to get traded or create this speculation thing. He's only been out a month. You know, he probably pulled his calf muscle pretty bad or maybe even tore something in there a little bit, and it's taking a while to heal. And when you're playing basketball, you know, you need that part of your body more than you need almost anything else. So, like, it's he probably got out on the court, tested it, and wasn't able to take off, wasn't able to accelerate, wasn't able to jump, and needs just a little bit more time. And, you know, like, that the difference between a week could be the difference between them being home and him being out on the court.
Yeah, you know, even with the LeBron James injury, you know, a month or 2 months later, that reporter came out and said LeBron James, you know, he came back too early, you know, and he caused him to be out for the remainder of the season. And, you know, another thing I want to talk to you about, you know, that caller right before me talking about Steph Curry couldn't carry the team. You know, man, he don't want two MVPs. He won multiple championships.
They won the championship in 2015, and he was their best player. People like to do this. They like to hold players accountable. You know, I bring up LeBron one more time because I think in a post-LeBron era, we've actually gotten better about that. You know, when you saw Steph Curry the other night, it felt like there was almost more sympathy for him than criticism because you saw he was doing everything for that team in that game. You know, that's the kind of thing LeBron got criticized for somehow last year in 2015 and 2007. And I think we've kind of moved past that where we're more reasonable about these things. But in the moment, people like to, you know, destroy a guy and say, how can he be? Steph Curry's one of the greatest players of all time. Full stop. Full stop. No matter what, he could score zero in the next game. He's one of the greatest players of all time. Period. The guy's got two MVPs. He's been a part of three championship teams. Six-time All-Star. Won the championship with the Warriors before Durant got there. Was the best player on the team that won more games than any team in NBA history, even if they didn't win the championship. Revolutionized the sport. So, Steph Curry's a great player. It's always fun to argue where somebody is on the list, right? Like, where somebody is all time, Steph Curry's going to be in that debate somewhere. Somewhere. And even now, like, who's the best player in the NBA right now? Let me ask you, who's the best player in the NBA right now? I mean, the easy answer is going to be Kawhi Leonard because what you saw last night, but is he the best player in the NBA? Might be, but it's a question because I could argue Steph Curry's the best player in the NBA. I could argue Kevin Durant is the best player in the NBA. I could argue LeBron James is still the best player in the NBA and we all just forgot because we haven't seen him for a while. He's been it for a long time. I mean, like, those are the guys that Harden probably doesn't have an argument because he hasn't done it quite enough at the playoff level, even though he's a great player. You know, Anthony Davis, I think, has a chance to have a Kawhi Leonard-type season next year where, remember, everybody was down on Kawhi this year because of what happened last year. But right now, who's the best player in the NBA? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. 4227. I think there's clearly a top four. I think that the top four players in the NBA right now are clearly LeBron, Durant, Curry, and Kawhi. And the order could really be argued. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.